Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in. Good morning. We're so glad you made it. Welcome to True North. This is week two in a short little message series called Intro to the Bible. Beginning next week, we're doing a deep dive into the Gospel of John. We're really excited about that. Hope you can make it. But for last week and this week, we wanted to talk a little bit about what the Bible is and how we interact with it. So if you haven't heard last week's message, I want to encourage you to go ahead and get onto our website and dial it up and listen to it. In fact, if you're watching this online or if you're streaming later in the week and you didn't hear last week's message, pause this one and go back and listen to last week's, because this week's message will make sense, will make more sense to you if you hear last week's message first. We talked a little bit about how it sometimes is frustrating when God doesn't speak to us. It's frustrating when we have a prayer request or we have something we'd like an answer on, something we want to happen or want to see done, and we're not able to hear from him. And in moments like that, it's tempting to sometimes say things like, you know, God, how come you never speak to me? You could get to me any way you want to. Certainly you could write something in the sky, but I'd be happy with a text message or an email or a message on Facebook, or you can get to me any one of a dozen different ways, you know, hello. And we kind of talked last week about how there's a little bit of arrogance in that platform. We don't dictate terms to the Almighty. He dictates terms to us, and he says to us, I want to speak to you, and I'm going to speak to you, and here's how I'm going to do it. And he kind of shows us, he's got two primary ways of speaking to us. He can speak to us in lots of different ways. The Lord could speak to you in the words of a song. He could speak to you in a line from a poem, a scene from a movie. He could speak to you in the words of a friend. He might even say something to you embedded within the words of an incredibly good-looking pastor who is delivering a sermon. It's possible. God can speak to you lots of different ways, but there are two primary ways where he says, I'm going to. One is in nature, and the second is in his word, in the Bible. We talked a little bit last week about how many of us don't really read the Bible. We come to church week after week, but never actually have opened it up for ourselves. And that's something we'd like to correct. So if you don't own a Bible, we want to encourage you to pick one up. We've got a couple of free ones we can give you down in the bookstore, some paperback ones. You can buy some more expensive, fancy ones, hardcover ones, leather-bound ones. Here, you can get them on Amazon, wherever books are sold. We use the New Living Translation of the Bible. There are many translations. We'll get into translations another time. For our purposes, the NLT, New Living Translation, is the one we use. And if you don't have a paper-bound copy of the Bible, or even if you do, I would love for every single person in our church to download an app called YouVersion. YouVersion is the Bible on your phone. It's been downloaded millions and millions of times by people around the world. It's an incredible app. You won't regret it. We're going to be diving into the Gospel of John next week. But for starters, in preparation for that, let's talk for a minute about how we approach the Bible. Let's talk for a minute about how our posture is. One of my favorite verses comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3. And what's going on in 1 Samuel chapter 3 is simply this. There's a young priest whose name is Samuel, and he's being mentored by a man named Eli. So Eli is a higher priest, and he's very well seasoned in his years. He's connected to God. He loves the Lord. He has a deep walk with God. And Samuel's kind of a newbie. You know, so what happens is these guys are asleep one night, and the Lord whispers to Samuel. He says something to Samuel. He calls him. Samuel doesn't understand that it's the Lord speaking to him, and he goes and he wakes Eli up, and he says, Eli, did you call me? And Eli says, no, Samuel, you're dreaming. Go back to sleep. Samuel goes and lies down again, and the Lord calls him a second time. And Samuel goes back to Eli and says, you know, like, Eli, I'm really sorry. I know I woke you up. I'm sorry to wake you up a second time, but are you calling me? And Eli's like, dude, shut up. I'm not calling you. Go back to bed. Samuel goes back to bed. And a third time, the Lord calls him. And here's what we find in the scripture. This is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 8. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" That last line of that verse, that's something I memorized a long time ago. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And I say those words every time I open the Bible, or every time I open my Bible app. I am now reading the one-year Bible through entirely on my phone. It's been an incredible, incredible experience. But anytime I interact with the Word of God, that one little sentence puts me in the right frame of mind. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." I want to encourage you to do the same. When we come to the Word of God with humility and we say, "Come on, speak. I want to hear from you. I want to know what to do. I want you to read into me. I want you to see into me. I want the transformation we talked about last week." Right? You remember us talking about that a little bit? We kind of dove into this. We talked about how a student reads the Bible for information. A disciple reads the Bible for transformation. There's a big, big difference. So we begin with humility. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." We understand we're coming in to the living, breathing, active Word of God. It's unlike any other text you will ever interact with in your life. And if we come correct, and if we come humble, what we will find is that we open the Bible to read it, and what actually happens is the Bible reads you. The Bible will read you. You'll be blown away by how often this book speaks into things that are going on right now in your life. It's just mind-blowing. So we come to the Bible with humility. We look for transformation, not just information. So that what that means is we apply what it says. See if this doesn't go by too fast. It's great to read the Bible, but then we actually have to do what it says, right? Listen to this from James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You could see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." It's the doing that we're after. Great to read the Bible. Awesome to read the Bible. We're promised in the Bible that it never returns void. So it's always doing something good for us. But the place where we separate the men from the boys, if you will, in terms of discipleship, is the application of Scripture. We talked a lot last week about how there's a lot of people who have come to me over the years, and their desire is to go deeper. Deeper, deeper, deeper. Can we please get some deeper stuff? We want to go deeper. Is there a Bible study? Is there somewhere else? And for many people, what they mean when they say deeper is they want to learn. And that's good. That is a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. But learning only gets you so far. It's in the application. So we define deeper a little differently here at True North. We define deeper not as we're going to learn more. We define deeper as we're going to apply better what we've already learned. Because for most of us, honoring God and loving others and serving all, doing the things God's called us to do, we pretty well know what we're about with that stuff. It's just that we don't always do it. Listen to this from 1 Corinthians chapter 8. "But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church." While knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that's, and that's really what it is, isn't it? Knowledge makes us feel important. It feels great to learn when we've studied something and we're learning all the nuances of the ancient languages and learning what was going on culturally in those places. And we're just kind of getting deep into things and pulling these golden nuggets out of the earth, you know, and keeping them. That's wonderful. That's beautiful. That's a good thing. But we're told right there in the Bible itself, knowledge makes us feel important, but it's love that strengthens the church. Another translation of that verse says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So what we're about here is not necessarily more knowledge. Knowledge is great. Our priority will be the application of that knowledge, doing what the Lord calls us to do. That's huge. That's a big, big deal. So another thing that we probably don't talk a ton about, don't talk enough about in church is not just reading the Bible, but memorizing it, embedding it in your heart, carrying it with you and keeping it close. That's something that's sort of a lost art. People don't, because we have phones where things are right at our fingertips, we don't really memorize things anymore. I could probably point to several of you, and there are people you call every day on the phone and you have no idea what their cell number is because they're on speed dial. Some of you have immediate family members and you don't know what their cell phone number is because you just press their name in a directory. So we don't tend to memorize things a ton, but memorization is kind of a big deal. It's part of being fed, right? We want you to dial in. We want you to be fed. And being fed means learning to feed yourself. That's another thing. Once in a while, when I gather with pastors, the one thing pastors hear on a regular basis, every pastor from time to time hears somebody come to them and say, you know, I'm sorry, pastor, it's been wonderful. We've had a great season with you, but I'm going to go to another church because I'm just not being fed. I'm not being fed here. And every pastor hears that from time to time. And here's the deal. It's always something that I'm not going to say it makes me chuckle because it kind of makes me sad, because at that point it's too late to communicate what's really going on. And what's really going on is this. And I'm not trying to blow up somebody's spot here, but here's what's up. And let's blow this balloon up right now and rid ourselves of this, misunderstanding. The church is not here to feed you. Like, I'm sorry if that's disappointing or if that messes with you or makes you angry. There's nowhere in the scripture where that's a thing. Like, the church does not exist to feed you. The church exists to help you feed yourself. So if your sole intake of the Word of God happens here on Sundays, you're not getting enough. You're gonna starve. You're right, you're not being fed. If I've made you dependent on me, I've failed you as a pastor. My job is not to make you dependent on me. My job is to help connect you with Jesus, the one true source, the place where you can feed yourself. So that's what we're after. You eat every day. You eat every day. Some of you are already thinking about lunch, right? If you're like me, you start thinking about lunch right around 9:30 in the morning. Start thinking, what am I going to have? Some of you are, you already wish I would shut up so that you could get to lunch. You're thinking about what you're going to eat. Nobody here at lunchtime is going to, yeah, you know what? I ate last week. I'm good. I ate last week. Or I ate yesterday. Right? I mean, if you're fasting for medical reasons or spiritual reasons or for some other reason you're abstaining from food, that's great. But nobody on an ordinary day just says, yeah, I ate yesterday. You know intuitively you have to eat something every day. Your soul is the same. We have to learn to feed ourselves. And that means opening the Word of God for yourself, diving in, saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, and getting in there and learning a little bit, letting the Word of God do its work inside of you. Some of you are wondering if it's worth it. There's a few of you here probably going, is this something I really need to do? And the reason you're wondering is because up until now, many of us have treated the Bible like the terms and conditions on a new piece of software. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you pride yourselves on being extremely honest. Some of you, your self-identification is, I'm a very honest person, but you lie every time you install a new piece of software because there's a little window that appears on your computer screen. It's about this wide, and there's a little scroll bar over here, and it goes. You have to scroll down for like 6 months in tiny little print to read all that stuff, and nobody ever does. There's just a little box at the bottom that says, I have read these terms and I agree. And you click, I have read them and I agree, and you lie every time. That's what a lot of people want to do with the Bible. We don't actually want to read it. We just want to click, I agree, and be done. But if that's the way we're handling the Word of God, we're never getting fed. It is worth it. It means something. It's going to yield something in your life. Some of you guys, I hope most of you remember the original Karate Kid, not that remake mess they made a couple years ago. The original Karate Kid, some of you remember this, right? The story, Daniel needs to be trained. You know, there's a bunch of guys in scary, you know, skeleton Halloween costumes chasing him around from another dojo. And he's defenseless. He doesn't know what to do. He's getting picked on. And so he needs this guy. He needs Mr. Miyagi to teach him. And he just begs him, come on, train me, train me, train me. Help me, help me. You got to help me. You got to help me. You got to train me. So finally, Mr. Miyagi says, okay, but you got to do exactly what I say. And Daniel, you know what's coming. Daniel says, okay, fine. And he shows up ready for his first day of karate training. He's like, this is awesome. I can't wait. I'm going to learn how to kick some butt. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Mr. Miyagi gives him, you know, a polishing rag and a can of car wax. And he says, see those cars? Wax on, wax off. And you remember that because I remember seeing that for the first time going, what is he doing? Got him waxed. He waxes all his cars. Doesn't understand. He comes back the next day. You're going to paint the fence. Paint the fence up, down with your hand. He's learning these hand motions up and down. Paint the whole fence, both sides. Next day, sand the floor. By the time he gets done waxing the cars, painting the fence, and sanding the floor, he is done. He thought he was coming to learn karate, and all he's doing is chores for this guy. And so finally he goes, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm leaving. And he says a couple of words that I can't repeat in church. And he says, I'm leaving. And then Mr. Miyagi does something that Daniel didn't see coming. Mr. Miyagi throws a punch. He doesn't intend to hit him, but he throws a punch. And what Daniel does is instinctively his hand repeats the motion that he had learned. He blocks the punch. And what he learns in that moment, as Mr. Miyagi throws a couple of punches and kicks and combinations at him, is that all that stuff he was learning when he thought he was just polishing a car or painting a fence or sanding a floor, all those motions he was learning are going to help him when he's attacked. So see if you can dial in with me. Life isn't easy. It's not easy. You're going to be attacked. Difficulties are going to come your way. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there it is. You're going to struggle at some time in your life. What if, when that struggle comes, you had the Word of God hidden in your heart? What if you were ready? What if in those moments, come on, you've had moments like this, right? When you just feel far from God, when you've screwed something up again and again and again, and you're wondering if God isn't just disgusted with you? What if in that moment, when that attack came, what if in that moment you had Romans 8:38 on speed dial and you could say, I know that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Neither height nor depth nor angels nor demons, not our fears for today nor our worries for tomorrow. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What if you had that just dialed up? Because back when you weren't sure if you should be reading the Bible, you were reading it. What if you were learning that? What if in your moments of shame, what if in the times when you're just so ashamed of yourself and you just want to quit and you just feel like walking away, you had Romans 8 chapter 1 on speed dial? Because there is therefore now no condemnation for those who belong in Christ Jesus. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 15, which says, behold, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. A new life has begun. What if you had those things already inside of you when the attack came? You'd be ready and your life would look a lot different, I'm guessing. Look it. I know I can preach. I can inform you. I can entertain you, maybe. On a good day, I could even inspire you. But only the Word of God can transform you. Only the Word of God can work you over from the inside out. It is living. It is active. It is imperative. With it, you are armed. Without it, you are defenseless. Only the Word of God can heal you when you're wounded. Convict you when you've sinned, encourage you when you're down, fix you when you're broken. It protects you in the night and it whispers to you in the day. It echoes in the chambers of your heart and it never, ever, ever returns void. God's word needs to have a place in your life if you're following him. So I know this is new to you. I know for some of you, this is just, this has never, ever been a thing for you. You've never read the Bible for yourself. John chapter 1, verse 1 is where we're beginning next week. I want to encourage you. Pick up a paper copy of the Bible. Open up that app. Begin at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Read a few verses. Start with this. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Read a few verses and let the scripture read you. Don't just take my word for it. Last verse of the day, I promise. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. See for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Don't just take the word of a preacher. And if you're a little intimidated by this process, here's a little something else that might help you. We have groups that meet during the week called recap groups. We've got lots of different community groups that meet for different reasons around the church. Recap groups meet every week, and what a recap group is they get together, a group of people, 10 or 12 people get together in somebody's house, and they do a recap of the sermon from that previous Sunday. They just talk about the message, what it means to them. They unpack it further. So if you're new and you're just getting started, head on down to Connections and say, hey, I'd love to join a recap group. How do I do it? Guys, I'll close with this. The Word of God is a gift. It's a gift. And what do you do with a gift? You open it. Open the Word of God this week. Start at John chapter 1, verse 1. We'll pick it up right there next Sunday. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we are so grateful to have the gift of your Word in our lives. We don't just want to be students. We want to be disciples. We don't just want to learn. We want to apply, Father. We want to live this thing out. We want to be ready when difficulties come our way. We know that playing the part you gave us to play isn't going to be easy. We know that honoring you and loving others and serving all is a difficult task. Help us feed ourselves that we might be ready to live the life you've called us to live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.